Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to decree this happy hour happy, even though I want to abort the court. And there was a lot of Supreme Court fuckery.
There was.
There also were massive pecker jokes, a lot of farting, you know. And I'm just going to say, on balance, justice is coming. I don't know when. It still could be nipple circling.
Justice has stuck the tip in just to see.
Just to see. Fuckers. Okay. But this is a Trevor Noah.
Yeah.
This is why most people are getting their news from comedians, the truth tellers. Trevor Noah, a comedy star.
Yep.
And then politics girl, speaking of stars of stage, screen, YouTube. She does her thing from her kitchen. She's like the anti-Katie Britt. She's like the non-creepy kitchen mom.
Right.
Yeah.
Her kitchen is lived in.
Yes. Yes. And she is fantastic, as is Trevor Noah. Enjoy. OMG, I am so excited about our new sponsor, Cook Unity. These are ready-cooked meals. You want to know my first six? Grilled mahi-mahi with oyster mushrooms and steamed rice. Vegan rigatoni pesto. Four cheese ravioli with cherry tomatoes and spinach. Hang on. Climate-friendly chickpea and quinoa bowl. Classic salad niçoise. Lemon-baked tilapia. I don't have time to cook. These, you just pop them in the microwave. Bam, you're done. Go to cookunity.com/liberal. You will not believe the quality and the quantity of different choices that you have. Whatever you need, vegan, paleo, pescatarian, gluten-free, whatever you love, they have a delicious dish. Cook Unity is the first chef-to-you service delivering locally sourced meals from award-winning chefs right to your door every week. And it's cheaper than other delivery options. So delicious and no cooking required. I love that on work nights for me. Go to cookunity.com/liberal or enter the code liberal before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using the code liberal or going to cookunity.com/liberal.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hello, politics girl.
Oh my God, I love that jingle. Can you guys hear me properly?
Yes, we can.
Amazing. That jingle makes me so happy. It makes me feel very special.
You make us happy. You're just shiny. You're shiny and pretty and funny, and we just love you. So, and congrats on the new book, A Return to Common Sense. Talk about that for a minute.
Oh, you know what? I'm really excited about this book because it's one of the reasons I started this project in the first place. Like, I wanted to write a book to begin with because that's kind of how I'm a nerd and that's sort of how I function. But basically what I wrote it is because we all kind of know something's gone wrong in America. We know something's gone wrong in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And if we're being honest, we might not fully understand it, right? And I don't want people to feel bad about that. We really haven't had proper civics for a long time. Cable news is allowed to lie to us and everything else seems to be for profit. So it's kind of understanding that no one knows what's going on and they're not exactly sure how to fix it. And then they just check out. So, you know, at the end of the day, how do you fix something if you don't know if it's broken, right? So I started the podcast to kind of explain things to people. I started the rants to make them in really bite-sized pieces. And then I wrote the book. And the book is, as you said, called A Return to Common Sense, because I think that's what we should do. But honestly, it's a political book for non-political people.
Yeah. You know what you always remind me? You are like, Katie Britt is like the bizarro world politics girl. Like, you just started this mom in your kitchen, just talking, explaining stuff to us. And she's like, looks like that, but is just, but it's like creepy mom in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, I'm not here to terrify you. That is for sure.
You yeah. start, she stole your act.
I don't talk in a fundy baby voice, so that also helps.
She stole your act of talking in your kitchen to ordinary
she
people.
She did. But you know what? It's one of those things where it's like, you can use the word if you are the word. You're in on the joke, you can use the joke. I can make, I can call myself politics girl, knowing full well I'm a middle-aged woman. You know, like, I'm in on the joke. And yet, you know, Katie Britt was not in on the joke. The Republicans made her the joke.
She was
they
like,
put her in the kitchen on purpose.
Yeah, she had that vibe, like, I'm in my kitchen, but don't check the crawl space kind of energy. I mean, I'm not implying there's anything in your crawl space. I'm sure there's not. Here's the thing.
There's Legos in my crawl space stuff.
So, happy, what are we calling it? Gasover? Gasover. First day of Gasover. It is Don Fartleone. You can't write this stuff, can you? That of course there's going to be reporting that he's actually farting in the courtroom in addition to falling asleep. I feel like this is, in a way, the best campaign ad for Biden, no matter what happens with the trial.
Right? I don't know. I'm such an old school wasp. It's so funny. It's like, Donald Trump is the worst, just period. The guy's a rapist. He's a criminal. He was a terrible president. He stole national secrets. You know, like, there's everything about him is bad. The last thing I need to talk about is his freaking flatulence. Like, he's just terrible. So, like I leave that. I get that it's funny, but, like, this guy's not funny. He's a danger to our country, and I'm sick of belittling it or making it funny, because I think people need it. I think it's essential, but, like, it diminishes how serious the threat he poses and the people who support him pose to our country.
Yeah. I mean, as if he could get more disgusting, but I mean, but you said, I loved what you said on Twitter. You said, I'm not sure why we're spending so much time talking about what the defendant in a criminal trial would prefer to be doing. I mean, this is the layer of this that I am enjoying so much is just his humiliation and the judge telling them, shut the F up and sit the F down. And you are a criminal defendant. What do you not get about? You're not president anymore. You are a criminal defendant. I mean,
I don't think he understands. I mean, this is the thing. I think we all know people in our lives who have never been held accountable for their bad behavior. So a lot of people have, like, that brother, you know, they're like, this freaking guy, my mom always lets him off the, you know, like, everybody has someone in their life. Donald Trump has done it to such an extreme. He should have been held accountable literally years ago. The man started his whole career, self-made businessman with millions of dollars from his daddy that he lost. Then he lost it again. Then he was bailed out again. Then he, like, stiffed workers. You know, I think about that poor story about that little piano maker that made all the pianos for his casinos and, like, by hand made them craftsmen. Yeah. And then Donald Trump just didn't pay him. And he went bankrupt trying to sue to get the money for the craftsmanship he did. Yeah. And I think how many little American workers thought, oh, I'm doing this great thing with this big businessman. And he's not a big businessman. He's always been a cheater and a liar.
And a fraud.
And it's about time someone said, you're being held accountable, so zip it. And look who's there with him, from his family and his team. No one. No one. They all know he's guilty. So, like, stop it. Just stop.
Yeah. And Lee, I just wonder, where are you on when they do a poll between you going, oh, these polls are BS, and thinking, oh my God, how is it possible that they're tied or he's 2 points up, whatever it is, given everything that you've just said. And he, by the way, has been adjudicated a rapist and a business fraud. So we're not saying anything that's like we're engaging in hyperbole.
No, I think the thing is that I think people need to understand that polls are absolutely borderline useless until sort of September of the election year. It gives you a sense of something, but they're polling 2,000 people, and who are they talking to? Who picks up their phones?
Yeah.
You know, who texts back? Most people don't have time to do that. And then on top of that, I just don't think we are, you know, there are 30% of the Republican base that are diehard Trump, live, ride or die, doesn't matter. Those people will always answer the phone. Those people will always answer the poll. But the entire Republican Party isn't on board for this. And the Democrats are definitely not on board for this. Independents aren't on board for this. Classic Republicans aren't on board for this. I think we're going to find that we're quite surprised much like we have been since the midterms in 2022, poll said this, and then this is what happened in the actual election.
Thank you.
And because I don't think we're insane. As a country, I mean, I think 30% of us have always been insane from the dawn of our creation, really. But I don't think the majority of the country is insane. And I think we just need to put in the work to prove it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lee, you know, I got to say, I loved your one tweet because it's exactly, Jody and I always say we marinate in this every day. And still sometimes you have a hard time getting your mind around it. And I think you're talking about Rovember. You're talking about Roe Rage. I mean, you said there are days when I actually can't believe, with all our advances and all we know, we're even contemplating the idea of the American government forcing women to be pregnant. It's mind-boggling. I mean, and that is what's been driving the actual results, right?
You know, Stephanie, it's so interesting because when the Dobbs decision came down, I was in a lot of rooms with a lot of politicians and a lot of people. A lot of them were men, and they kept saying, yes, people are very upset about this now, but it's not going to last forever. So we need to get back to the economy and we need to do this. And I said in one of the luncheons I was at, I was like, first of all, abortion is the economy. Like a kitchen table issue is how many people are at your kitchen table. If you can afford to pay for their food, if you can afford to take care of them. So people have forgotten that, first of all, abortion is a huge economic issue. Secondly, I said to the same people, I said, it's not going away. Like, I understand where you're coming from, but as a woman, I'm telling you, the women in America are furious.
Yeah.
And it's only getting worse. We have like a law from the 1800s on board in Arizona. We're getting rid of IVF in Alabama. Like, people are outraged because it really is such a violation of our freedoms, of our personal rights, of our autonomy. And it's a slippery slope to so many other things.
Yeah.
And I think people are smart enough to realize that. It's shocking.
And
there we are.
Yeah, exactly. And they're doubling and tripling down, as you mentioned, Arizona and on. Here's the thing. You alluded to this on Twitter. The fact that they can still find women that are so, whatever it is, power hungry, like Kristi Noem, that will betray other women. She was asked, do you think there should be exceptions for rape and incest? And she said, I don't think a tragedy should perpetuate another tragedy. And you retweeted Fred Wellman, who said, rape isn't a tragedy. It's a violent crime, and forcing the victim to carry the child of her rapist is one of the most shameful and vicious acts of government imaginable. Absolutely monstrous people with their fake piety. And yet they find women to advocate for that, right?
Yeah, there's always been people, women particularly, white women particularly, who by their proximity to power feel that they are better off tying themselves to whoever is the top dog. So in this case, white Christian men. And I'm like, by association, I come second in line. So if you're handing out treats and you're giving it first to white Christian men, and I'm a white Christian woman who aligns with them, I'm going to get the treats second. So I think there are people who feel like they are safer in their position, because if we break down the system and we say everyone's equal by this, they might not know where their position is. They know exactly where their position is if they toe the line, and they like it like that.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is it doesn't serve the rest of us, and most of us are not in that camp. So they end up feeling like traitors. It reminds me a lot of if you watched Handmaid's Tale, or if you read the book. You know, there are always a collection of women that are willing to throw other women under the bus.
Yeah.
Because of their own power structure. But it never serves them either. Never serves them.
My former producer used to recommend that, and I was like, as entertainment? Why would I want to watch that? We're living it.
It's not as entertainment. It's like as a cautionary tale. I actually had to stop watching it. I was like, I'm too stressed out.
I know.
Like you said, I'm marinating in it all day. And then you're like, oh, I think I'll take a, oh, no. You know, like, it's exhausting. But I did have to read it in high school because Margaret Atwood is a huge Canadian author. And of course, I grew up doing Canadian literature in Toronto. So that was a huge book we read.
So that's all about. Okay. Speaking of dead inside white ladies, here is Lara Trump.
Okay. He showed us a whole lot that we didn't know was going on within the media, within Washington, D.C. He exposed a lot of people, so they have to do everything they can to keep him out of that White House, because they know Donald Trump gets in for 4 more years, the jig is up for them. Mm. The gloves are off. There are no holds barred here. He is going full throttle. He's not worried about winning another election. It's 4 years of scorched earth when Donald Trump retakes the White House.
Wow. 4 years of scorched earth. You said policies and plans be damned. We're offering years of personal vendettas and retributions for our baseless sour grapes. Go team. I mean, that is a hell of a campaign message, right? It has nothing to do with you or your life or your family.
Yeah, we're going full scorched earth. That'll be terrific for the American people. Not to mention the fact she said we're not worried about another election. That's actually the telling part. Like, four more years, sure. That boy's not leaving. If we give him power, he's not leaving. She's right. They're not worried about another election. They just have to win this one. And then they'll do whatever they want. And we see what scorched earth looks like in other countries. People fall out of frickin' windows if you speak against the leader. You know, we take over half your company and say you need to pay penance to the leader. You know, we take down your media company. You lose your broadcast license because you don't say what the leader wants you to say. It's dear leader stuff. And that's exactly what she's telling us in her idiotic way, in her terrible pants. And it is, you know, it's unfortunate because they're saying out loud what they're going to do. And we just need to make sure enough people are like, hell no.
Speaking of vengeance, can we arrest her for the murder of Tom Petty songs? Do you think that's... I almost would rather hear her sing than talk. And that's...
Yeah. No, I think the literal and figurative police, I think Sting should arrest her personally for a crime against music.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Exciting. Former Emmy, multiple 11 billion Emmy award winning former host of the Daily Show, Trevor Noah, joins us now. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. We're so excited to have you.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, you have a couple. But first of all, you're at the Hollywood Bowl out here in L.A. May 11th, mm-hmm. which is very exciting. And then we'll talk about what now with Trevor Noah. How are you feeling watching this whole circus going on in New York this week? Do you miss doing the Daily Show?
I mean, it's really wild. I'm actually in Washington, D.C. doing shows right now, and I never thought I would travel to D.C. to get away from the chaos that's affecting America. It's really wild because New York has turned into a full-on circus right now, and America is in a really strange position where, you know, at the same time when everyone's preparing for a presidential race, one of the races might end up in prison. That's a strange place to be in for any country, I think. So, it's been quite a circus to follow.
Well, aside from being hilarious, Trevor, your background is so interesting. Obviously, author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood. One of the things I hear all the time, and I want to get your take on, because I'm sure you do too, is people around the world just cannot believe this. They just keep asking, how is he allowed to run? Why is he not in prison? What do you say to people that you talk to around the world?
Well, you know, the one thing I'll say is this. I know this is going to sound strangely counterintuitive, but in many ways, this is a great example of America working well. Because I don't know many other countries where a former president would be held accountable for anything, you know? So, you know, on the one hand, I see people panicking and saying, like, this is the end of America. And I go, like, well, actually, it shows that America is a functioning democracy where, you know, it really is right now showing that nobody is above the law, which is what it's supposed to be. And, you know, how it turns out or how it pans out, nobody knows. But I don't know. In a strange way, you only know that a system is working when you actually put it to the test, right? So how do you know if the elevator brakes work or not until the cable snaps? I guess now we'll find out.
I guess, unless he gets away with it all, then. But, I mean, he's already been educated. A rapist and a business fraud, and he's still, you know, obviously the Republican nominee. I mean, that's why it puts the media in a bind, doesn't it? Because it really does.
You know, because in many ways, I've always said that, you know, Trump is like a black light on American democracy, and that he's exposed many of the parts of America's system that people have for a long time taken for granted or ignored. And I mean, when it comes to the media, they really are in a strange situation because now, you know, the person who they in many ways propped up is now in a position where they have to treat him with a level of reverence that doesn't really, you know, work in an environment where somebody is on trial for all the things he's on trial for. So now it's really going to be a test of the media. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that they're fully up to it because they're always battling. You know, their unquenched thirst for ratings with their need to actually be good journalists. So it's going to be an interesting time.
Well, that's why I was so thrilled to have you on this morning. We had a listener recently, a caller, just say, I only go to comedians to get my news now. I only go to late night comedians. And I hate to say it, Trevor, but you and all the rest of the late night comedians are doing a better job, you know, at telling the truth. Holding Trump's feet to the fire, talking about how ridiculous this all is.
I wouldn't be quick to take credit. I don't think as comedians it's that we're like better people or anything. I think it's because we've been hamstrung by the fact that comedy requires truth. Good comedy requires truth, and and what that's meant is, you know, it's a lot of the comedians who are looking at the truth of these situations and commenting on them. And so I think the situation that America's media or the news has been in is that they've created this false idea that being a fair journalist is being a journalist who says the same amount of things about both sides of an equation. And I mean, even that part of it alone is strange. You know, America is one of the few countries where every issue is divided into two sides, when I think there are far more layers and far more spectrums to any political issue than we give it credit for. So I don't think the system is designed for much honesty or much objectivity. But comedy has always been about the truth. You know, it's just about people telling the truth. And if you're not telling the truth, the audience doesn't laugh. So it's a really dangerous and honest space to be in, which is why I think not everyone can do it, and which is why comedians both love and hate it.
And I think that's why, you know, it was the joke that not only killed what was heard around the world at the Oscars when Jimmy Kimmel said to Trump, isn't it past your jail time? You know, I mean, it's but it blows.
That joke, you know, there's so few jokes that make you laugh out loud. That joke was fantastic. I mean, we laughed so hard watching that joke. It was amazing.
Well, because, you know, Trevor, here we're seeing, you know, what's happening in the courtroom, and it's like the eighth grade boy in all of us, isn't it? It's like David Pecker. There's Pecker jokes. There's he's farting. Like, it's just, you know, and then, but, you know, I want to get your take on, should they keep putting these microphones outside? Because then he goes outside and just lies and lies and lies, you know, and I don't know how else you cover this, but it just, his lies are hitting the light of day in a courtroom where you cannot just lie. You know, you have to have.
Well, I've never understood why. I guess I do understand it for ratings, but I've never understood why the news in America gives Trump a microphone that is connected to a live feed.
Yes.
I think there's nothing wrong with having an interview, and there's nothing wrong with capturing the words of a person who is now a former president. But you can always wait and see, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even TikTok has an edit feature. I don't understand why the news doesn't adopt the same idea.
Yes.
You know, just watch it,
well,
see if there's anything that's worth reporting to the American people, and then go from there.
That's right. You know, Trevor, CNN the other day, Trevor, just, you know, literally cut back and went, well, obviously none of that was true. I mean, that's one way to do it, to air it and then immediately say none of that was true, or not air it. But let's talk real quick. I know you have to go. Let's talk about, because I know we're so excited to see you here at the Hollywood Bowl May 11th, but what now with Trevor Noah? I love how it's described. It'll go deep with special guests, including entertainers, CEOs, actors, athletes, thought leaders, the kind of conversations that happen behind the scenes, full of radical candor, authentic back and forths, honest reactions. We always say that, Trevor, that before we go on air, sometimes are the best conversations when you aren't on air yet. And this feels like it has the feel of that.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to capture with as much authenticity as possible the conversations that I have when I'm not, quote unquote, going on air. And I think we're losing that in society, and it's something mm-hmm. that I'm trying to hold on to with all my strength, is the honest candor that we have with each other as people when we're trying to navigate some of the stickiest issues. You know,
yeah.
We're not living in an easy world. We're not living in a world where people are becoming less polarized. But I do think we should work a little bit harder to have conversations that are sticky, because from that stickiness comes, you know, comes truth and comes an understanding. So
yeah.
My podcast is all about trying to find that. It's understanding that no conversation that's worth having won't have any rough edges to it. But, you know, if you get over those rough edges, you never know where you find yourself. And
yeah.
That's what I'm enjoying doing on every single episode.
For instance, I think you dropped an F-bomb earlier in the conversation and may have lost me my FCC license, but it was worth it to meet you. And so that
what?
Was...
Me?
That was a raw, real conversation. And what a thrill to meet you, Trevor. Best of luck. Can't wait to see you out here at the Hollywood Bowl. We'll talk soon, I hope.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
You too.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes. Trevor,
yay.
Come on. We're fancy.
We are fancy.
He's got all this money. I mean, all this is your mom. It's good.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.